What would Lord of the Rings look like from an orc's perspective? Let's take a look. Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. If you're new here, welcome. We experience the Lord of the Rings from the perspective of our heroes, understandably so, and to them, orcs most often appear as part of a large group of bad guys, the red shirts of Sauron's army, if you will. But we know from overhearing conversations between Ugluk and Grishnak, and later Shagrat and Snagger, for example, that they are all different. Different appearances, different experiences, and different characters. The Lord of the Rings will have looked very different to one of Saruman's Uruk-hai, for example, than to one of the orcs we see in the Mines of Moria. They, I'm sure, have their own fascinating perspectives, but for this video, we will focus in on Sauron's orcs, based largely in Mordor. And as a final piece of scene setting, Sauron did have other orc strongholds, most notably at Dol Guldur in South Mirkwood, from which armies of orcs emanated towards the end of the story to attack Lothlorien and northern Mirkwood. But by a long way, the largest concentration of orcs was in Mordor. Several years before the Lord of the Rings, Sauron had declared himself in Mordor and started gathering his forces, including, of course, orcs. And although all orcs are warlike, they aren't all in Sauron's army. They are also miners and craftsmen, builders and slave drivers. We read of orc bands heading off east and south to bring back resources and more slaves into the heart of Mordor, for example. Sauron clearly diverted many of his orcs from these duties into his army in time for the War of the Ring, but many others would have carried on with their roles. The army still needed provisioning, the broader economy still needed running. These orcs will have seen little change in their day-to-day life, except perhaps an increase in workload as some of their orc colleagues were conscripted to the front and the war machine needed feeding. Little change, that is, until the very end, but we'll get onto that a bit later in the video. Because for the balance of Sauron's orcs, the War of the Ring meant war, or waiting for war in encampments. We see a snapshot of what this looks like when Frodo and Sam pause to take in the view across the plain of Gorgoroth towards Mount Doom. We read that they wondered how the Lord of this realm maintained and fed his slaves and his armies. Yet armies he had, as far as their eyes could reach along the skirts of the Morrigai and away southward, there were camps, some of tents, some ordered like small towns. One of the largest of these was right below them. Barely a mile out into the plain, it clustered like some huge nest of insects with straight, dreary streets of huts and long, low, drab buildings. About it, the ground was busy with folk going to and fro. A wide road ran from it southeast to join the Morgul Way, and along it many lines of small black shapes were hurrying. We could pick up a lot from that short description, but a couple of things stand out. First, it's clear that this is, as we thought earlier, clearly not just Sauron's normal Mordor garrisons. These are troops brought in, or other orcs conscripted from the wider empire to the south and east, more than could be stationed in Minas Morgul, for instance, hence the tented city. But also, it's clear that some of these troops had been there for a while, hence there being crude buildings, huts and roadways. We could add to that that we know that this was not just orcs. When we see his army close up, it contains a range of races and troop types. There are humans, Easterlings and Black Numenoreans, wargs for the orcs to ride, trolls and Olog-hai, and different kinds of orcs too, Uruk-hai as well as standard orcs. This will have been a diverse and no doubt quarrelsome army. The camp will have been noisy and smelly. It was stationed not far from Minas Morgul, with troops heading out on various missions and others joining, an ever-shifting camp until the order finally came for them all to move out. The first action of the War of the Ring was Sauron's attack on Osgiliath, the ancient and ruined former capital of Gondor. We hear about it from Boromir. It's the battle that happened just after he and Faramir got that vision. It was a surprise attack, so from the orcs' perspective, the army will likely have been sent forth at high speed from Minas Morgul, just 20 miles northeast of Osgiliath, that's 30-ish kilometres. Although this was a significant move, it was still only with a fraction of Sauron's forces, perhaps only Minas Morgul's garrison, so most of the orcs probably actually stayed in that camp on the other side of the mountains. The attack was very much led by the Ringwraiths. All 9 of the Nazgul were very visible. All part of Sauron's plan, incidentally. He wanted his enemies to know that that's where the Nazgul were, just before he sent them on a secret mission to hunt for the ring. But their presence was also important for the orcs in the army. The Nazgul may have had a chilling effect on their opponents, but on orcs, it was the opposite. Or at least, if not exactly encouraging, then at least keeping the army in order. At which point we should probably briefly digress into the relationship between Sauron and the orcs, for they were his creatures. Orcs are clearly not automatons, but they are closely bound to his will. The further from him and the longer, the lesser this link was. The orcs of Moria, for example, seemed largely outside of his influence, but the orcs of Mordor were as close as ever. This will be important later. Anyway, during the assault on Osgiliath, the bridge across the Anduin was destroyed and Sauron's forces kept to the east side of the river. Some, I'm sure, headed back to that makeshift camp because it would be a while before they were called upon again. About 9 months, in fact, which probably explains the shift from a tented city to some slightly more robust structures. That camp was now home for tens of thousands of orcs. During those 9 months, there were some changes and movements. Sauron continues to amass his forces during this time, and expeditionary forces are sent out to hunt for the ring, one of which is part of that gang that captures Merry and Pippin. As a complete aside, I'm sure you picked up on the fact that there were 2 competing orc groups there, Sauron's and Saruman's, but did you notice that there were actually 3? The third group came from Moria. "We have come all the way from the mines to kill and avenge our folk. I wish to kill and then go back north," they say. The Uruk-hai quickly put them in their place. Anyway, back to the orcs of Mordor. By around the 9th of March of the year 3019 of the Third Age, they will finally have received their marching orders. Sauron musters his magic and a darkness starts to spread from Mordor westwards. By the next day, it reaches Minas Tirith, and that day gets named the Dawnless Day. This darkness has several purposes. It strikes fear into light-loving humans, offers an advantage to orcs who can see well in the dark, and allows even those parts of Sauron's army who hate the sunlight, including many orcs, to set forth from Mordor. And they did. This is the army that we saw in the Battle of the Pelennor Fields. A bit later, a second, smaller force of orcs and men set forth to take the island of Cair Andros and then onto the strategically important road between Rohan and Gondor. The plan there was to prevent Rohan, Gondor's strong ally, from sending any relief force to help Minas Tirith. It was a sensible plan, but the Rohirrim avoided the force with a bit of help from the Woses. But back to the Pelennor Fields. Orcs formed the bulk of Sauron's army at the Battle of the Pelennor Fields, though there were sizable contingents of humans and others, including, of course, the Mumakils, the Oliphants. And the Nazgul also played a significant role. We don't know what the rank and file were told about the fight ahead of them, but we can assume that they were told that this was a simple matter of first securing the west bank of the Anduin River, then taking the fortified city of Minas Tirith itself. They had Nazgul on flying fell beasts, Oliphants, a magical battering ram, and a vastly larger army. They certainly won't have been expecting any support for the beleaguered Minas Tirith. The corsairs of Umber were raiding across the south coast, preventing the coastal settlements sending reinforcements, and the route from Rohan was blocked, as well as Saruman's army keeping the Rohirrim engaged. So they will have been confident of victory. And victory seemed increasingly likely as the battle wore on. They swept across the Anduin without significant resistance. Faramir's mission was ridiculous, too small a force to properly defend the river or Osgiliath. They even managed to breach the Great Gate of Minas Tirith. Inside, Denethor, their steward, had absented himself from any leadership of the defence and was instead hurtling towards self-immolation. The morale of the troops on the walls plummeted. The orcs would have been eager to pile into the city. But that's when the army of Rohan appeared. This was a complete surprise. The Witch King of Angmar flew over to personally deal with the new threat, taking out King Theoden. But when he was inexplicably vanquished, the orcs had to refocus on defending against Éomer and the vengeful Rohirrim. Then Aragorn turned up with forces from the south. At first, the orcs thought that this was their allies from Umbar. Aragorn kept the distinctive Umbar black sails up while rowing up the Anduin River to fool everyone. When it became obvious what had happened, the orcs were routed. Their commander was defeated and the momentum of the attack was completely lost. Many fought on to the death, others retreated back beyond the Anduin. It was probably those orcs who then started attacking Aragorn's army of the west as he later marched through Ithilien to the Black Gate. At which point, we must point out that although the Pelennor Fields was an epic battle, it was still only with a fraction of Sauron's forces. Most were still in that tented city on the plain of Gorgoroth, or manning forts like Cirith Ungol. But eventually, the order for them all to move came. Aragorn was marching to the Black Gate, and so Sauron wanted his force in place there to meet him. For some of the orcs, this will have been the first movement they had had for maybe a year from the Tented City northwards. It's one of those units on the northward journey from the Tented City to the Black Gate that stumble across a disguised Frodo and Sam and press gang them into joining the remorseless march north. Frodo and Sam, of course, manage to escape that after a bit and head back south across the country to Mount Doom. The lack of opposition they find there is an indication of how committed Sauron was to facing down Aragorn at this point. He was convinced that Aragorn had the ring, and that was the most important thing. So, within days, the entire remainder of Sauron's army was camped just inside the Black Gate. There was a brief pause while the mouth of Sauron spoke to Aragorn and Gandalf, but soon the Black Gate was open and the orcs burst forth. We read this. Drums rolled and fires leaped up. The great doors of the Black Gate swung back wide. Out of it streamed a great host as swiftly as swirling waters when a sluice is lifted. The captains mounted again and rode back, and from the host of Mordor there went up a jeering yell. Dust rose, smothering the air, as from nearby there marched up an army of Easterlings that had waited for the signal in the shadows of Ered Lithwy, beyond the further tower. Down from the hills on either side of the Morannon poured orcs innumerable. The men of the west were trapped, and soon, all about the grey mounds where they stood, forces 10 times and more than 10 times their match would ring them in a sea of enemies. Sauron had taken the proffered bait in jaws of steel. The orcs must have again thought that victory was inevitable. Their enemy was surrounded and vastly outnumbered. They charged into attack. But beyond all hope, that's when the ring was destroyed. Remember earlier, we talked about the link between Sauron and the orcs of Mordor. When he died, that link was broken and the orcs were left directionless. This is how Tolkien describes it. The power of Mordor was scattering like dust in the wind. As when death smites the swollen, brooding thing that inhabits their crawling hills and holds them all in sway, ants will wander witless and purposeless and then feebly die. So the creatures of Sauron, orc or troll or beast spell-enslaved, ran hither and thither mindless, and some slew themselves, or cast themselves in pits, or fled wailing back to hide in holes and dark, lightless places far from hope. So that vast mass of orcs, once Sauron was overthrown, were lost, some ending things there and then for themselves, others were cut down by Aragorn's forces, and still more fled to be rooted out later by Aragorn and Faramir. And that's not just the orcs in the army, of course. Remember that there were plenty more orcs manning garrisons, mining and provisioning the army, slave driving, and who knows what else. The orcs further away and less under Sauron's control didn't have it quite so bad, though they were still defeated. The downfall of Dol Guldur and the orcs there took place 2 days later. Those in the deep holes and further reaches of Mordor were hunted down and killed over the next few years, and the dwarves drove the orcs from Khazad Dûm early in the Fourth Age. Who knows when the last orc fell, but it was inevitable from the moment that Sauron himself fell. The orcs' perspective on the War of the Ring is more complex than we sometimes give them credit for. I'll do a video sometime on their culture, but there is no doubt that ultimately their experience was one of control and exploitation by evil forces, and then destruction. A dark tale for a dark race of beings. If you'd like to see more videos diving deep into Tolkien's legendarium, there's a playlist on the left of your screen now. Or if you'd like to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.